Alrighty, you're listening to another news on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage, bringing you news, views, and music from the youth perspective, things we care about straight from our mouths. In other news is a product of the Alaska Teen Media Institute. I'm Cornelius Nelson.
And I'm Ormond DeLois. On today's show, we have an interview with a client from Beans Cafe, a feature on the band leader of a local jazz institute, an interview with one of ATME's first ever youth producers as part of our 15-year anniversary, plus music, news, and events.
Wait, we have jazz? No one told me there would be jazz.
Yeah, we don't exactly live in New Orleans, do we?
You like jazz?
Well, I mean, on occasion, but I think smooth jazz definitely draws in a bigger audience.
Me, personally, more of a jazz noir kind of guy. Like, anything that's, like, says, like, you know, L.A. Noir, Dick Tracy, you know, that's jazz to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, jazz that you kind of, you gotta listen to in the bootlegging bar back in the speakeasy, and you gotta knock twice and then slide your hand on the doorknob to get let in, because that's the secret password. That's where the real jazz is.
But of course, the guy from The Shining always has to show up every time. Now, why is that?
Does Jack Nicholson like jazz?
Honestly, I like to think he does, but then I wonder, there wasn't really any jazz in The Shining, was there? There was just that song at the end.
I feel like it's more than enough. I mean, technically, Ram Ranch is a country song, even though there's no country music in it whatsoever.
Yeah, maybe not.
All right.
I especially like that there's 100 versions of a song.
Actually, 200. There's a whole cinematic universe.
Moving on, let's talk about events.
Hey, everybody. So, upcoming is some events, fun events you can go to if you got nothing better to do, or maybe you just want to get out of the house. The Anchorage Farmers Market and Festival is back on August 17th, so come down, grab some jam, and jam out. It's open to all, so why not come down and relax? If by chance you know an Alaska Native or Native American youth, and you'd like to send them off to learn how to craft and learn in a culturally friendly environment, then Fab Fest would be the perfect place. This event is hosted out of the CITC Transport Building parking lot at 3600 San Geronimo Drive. Please provide a CIB Tribal Enrollment or Tribal Entity letter for entry. Now, this is a kids-only event, so feel free to take the day away from your kids and relax. This event is Friday, August 16th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. In case you've been living under a rock, the Alaska State Fair is coming up from the 22nd through the 1st of September, so you can indulge in fried food and not feel guilty because you puked it up on a ride. Also, you can come down and see what music is out there. Like, here's some of the performances that are going on. Dropkick Murphys, Blackwater Railroad, and Jeffrey Foxworthy. Or you could go to the Lizard Bar and see some cool snakes and scaly boys. Those are lizards. And also coming up on the 13th is one of my best friends in the whole wide world's birthday, Lanicia. So shout out to you, old lady. Happy 20th birthday. Ormond, you know that guy, Devin, right? Devin Schreckengast? Schreckenghost? Schreckenghost.
Yeah, I thought it was a ghost.
Yeah, awfully spooky fellow. He actually plans some real, windy wind and chain effects for us for the music. So coming up soon, here's Devin Schreckengast with the music.
Yeah, please come up. You won't answer my calls.
What's up, guys and gals? I'm back with more music. For our first block, I'm bringing back the oldies but goodies block, because you can't go wrong with the oldies. The first song in this block is Rebirth of Slick, or Cool Like That, by Digwell Planets. Let's get those jams rolling.
Straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo bodies, hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, floor rush, when they DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. He tucks the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion. Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions. Why is it so fly? Cause hip hop kept some drama. When butterfly rock the light new sway boomers. What by the cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip hop era? Was fresh in fact since they started saying Audi. Cause funks made fat from right beneath my hood. The pooba of the styles like Miles and just like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock, but I'm cool like that. 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 I'm cool. I'm cool. We be the chocolates, taps on my raps. She innovates, apple sweet and cat naps. He at the funk club with the vibrate. Them they be crazy down with the five link. It can kick a plan, then a crowd burst. Me, I be digging it with the bug burst. Us, we be freaking till dawn, peace and I. He gets a stranger smile, so I say hi. Who understood? Yeah, understood the plans. Him heard of it and put it to his hands. What I just flip, let borders get loose. How to consume all the beaches like juice. If it's the dish, we'll lift it off the plastic. The babes will go spastic. Hip hop games a classic. Pimp playing sharp, it don't matter. I'm fatter. Axe butter, how I zone.
Man, Cleopatra Jones.
And I'm chill like that. 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 I'm chill.
Free, cause the clits be fat for us. Them thug the jams and commence to go in awe. She sweats the beats and asks me cause she puffin'. Me, I got crew kids, seven and a crescent. Us cause a buzz when a nickel bags a dope. Him, that's my man with the asteroid belt. They catch a fizz from the Mr. Doodle Big. He rocks a tee from the Brooklyn Nine Pigs. The rebirth is slick like my gangster stroll. The lyrics just like Luke come in stacks and rolls. You used to find the bug in a box with Babe. Now he boogies up your stage, plats twist the braids. And I'm peace like that. 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 I'm peace.
Check it out, man. I groove like that. I'm smooth like that. I jive like that. I roll like that.
Yeah, I'm thick like that. I stack like that. I'm down like that. I'm black like that.
Yo, I funk like that. I'm fat like that. I'm in like that cause I swing like that.
We jazz like that. We freak like that. We zoom like that. We out. We out. We out.
The phone.
never was a quitter, tasted like a raindrop. She's got the look, a heavenly bomb, cause heaven's got a number when she's spinning me around. Kissing is a color, a loving is a wild dog. She's got the look. She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
What in the world can make a brown-eyed girl turn blue? When everything I'll ever do, I do for you. And I go la 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 la. She's got the look. As a lover's disguise, banging on the head drum, shaking like a mad bull. She's got the look, swaying to the band, moving like a hammer. She's a miracle man. Loving is the ocean, kissing is the wet sand. She's got the look. She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
What in the world can make a brown-eyed girl turn blue? When everything
was The Look by Roxette. Before that, we had Hello Operator by the White Stripes, and we started this block with Rebirth of Slick, or Cool Like That, by Digable Planets. I'll be back later with more tunes.
Thanks, Devin.
That was some good music, but I gotta address something I had on my mind for a while. I feel like beans do not get enough appreciation in society. Beans rise up. Beans are the most depressed food group. I feel like the best kind of beans are probably Butch's baked honey beans, because they got a nice sweetness to them while at the same time being proteiny and full of fiber and healthiness for you.
Well, I might agree with you on that, Cornelius, but I also think it's a little bit generalizing to say that beans are only one food group and they can't be part of multiple. Don't you think that's a bit odd?
I think beans themselves are like, I feel like there's food and then there's beans.
In fact, I think there should be multiple different food groups. I think there should be, based on beans, there should be stuff like baked and refried. I think maybe they should be part of each other's game. I think it'd be a very nice addition to the pyramid, edited for a modern era and posterity.
My point here is, beans make up only 13% of the population, but account for over 50% of the protein of the human diet. Anywho, next up, we got an interview from Atme producer Rowan Pickard. He went down to the local Anchorage soup kitchen, Beans Cafe, and talked to one of their clients about what their life on the streets can be like. Here's the scoop.
Hi, my name's Rowan Pickard, and I'm with Alaska Teen Media Institute reporting in Anchorage. Today I'm here with Emma, who's a client with Beans Cafe, and I'm here to ask you a couple questions.
So I wanted to ask you, like, can you tell me your story? Like, how did you end up here today?
Well, it was kind of like a slow process of just like losing my kids and then becoming, having a way to cope with that, and then just being down here, like getting up at 5:30, so on and so forth, you know. And then I guess just like every day, like something will get stolen or something, and then like just, you know, series of misfortunate events of barraging, it seems like. And then you got to get up and try to deal with your day. So, I mean, then you got, you know, how your day started is just, you know. But the way I became here is because I lost my kids, and it was a rough relationship between the father and my children, who so on and so forth. It was a very deep story, but just a slow process of alcoholism and just, you know, and getting stuck in the rut and not being able to, trying to find my own way out.
With your current situation, like, do you feel safe?
For the most part, I'd say yes, because I'm always like on camera, this, that, and the other, but for the most part, them stealing my stuff, I mean, no. Yeah. But for the physically, yes. The transition is what I think people are having a rough time with, transitioning into homelessness and then transitioning out of it. So I think the transition is harder for people. And maybe their points of views and what they look like and then what they look like to another person. So just, you know, building that confidence to be accepted and accepting yourself, and then, you know.
What is your biggest fear?
Probably my health for right now, because it seems like the bathrooms are really just sanitation around here. Just my health. That's my biggest fear right now. Because I maintain that. I'm like, I used to be a real germaphobe, and then coming here, it's almost broke me. So just that is my biggest fear right now. So,
what does the word home mean to you?
Comfort. Probably just comfort, you know, basic needs, and like just not feeling uncomfortable, I guess. Like roof over your head, warmth, comfort things, I guess. Materials, it could be material things to people. To me, it's like my basic needs, just living, like food and roof over the head and bed, I guess. Clean things like my clothes. I don't know, I could go on. I don't use the drugs and stuff, so I know just people who are homeless and using the drugs, they sell their food stamps, this, that, and the other, so it's hard to maintain their basic needs. Like, they eat here. I try not to eat here because it seems like it makes me sick. It taxes my stomach, so I eat on my own needs, you know, so I don't know what it's like for everybody else, because that's just me in my position. I don't know what everybody else goes through, so.
What steps are you taking to improve your life?
Just like getting my ID, because like it seems like once a week my ID will get stolen. Just my pertinent information, I guess. It'll be in my backpack, or like, and then I start doing it in my phone. Bad idea, phone. My phone gets stolen like almost all the time here, so I stopped carrying the phone thing. I mean, I have a phone, but it has no service, so that's like an on-purpose thing. I didn't really think about it for a long time, but if you're not like trying to like get a job and maintaining contact with your family and stuff, you just don't think about it, I guess. But I know when I establish myself in a home and stuff, I'm gonna want my material things like phone and stuff like that. Like always, you know, and when I have a home, I know it's not gonna get stolen, it's just gonna get lost. So it'd be my own fault. It was a dramatic change, actually, because I was like so material before, so it was like, almost made me wanna cry all the time. Like I had a big lump in my throat, and I was like, just missing my kids and my TV, just where everything is supposed to be, and it, nothing where it was, you know, so it was just, the transition was very rough for me, it was bad. It was almost unfathomable, like, this isn't happening, you know, so.
What do you want people to know about you, or about who you are when you're out on the street?
I guess, when you see a homeless person, they automatically think that they're gonna steal or something. That's or lie, and those things like coincide. I mean, they go hand in hand, and those are the two things like I don't do. So, and commonly when you see a homeless person, that's what they think, and that's when I don't want to make that impression. That's what I'm trying to say.
So what is the best thing that has happened to you this week?
I couldn't really say, actually. I don't really see a bad moment. I mean, I do, but I do a lot of praying, so that's what helps me get through a lot of this. I don't think that a lot of these people have God in their life, so they're really, like, you know, down, and this, that, it suppresses them or whatever their problems is or their dilemma. I think they just need, even if it's not something higher power.
So with that, like, where would you like to be in years' time?
In years' time, having my kids, no problems, all this behind me, not even within distance memory, that's my ideal situation, just home and everything there and comforts, everything within reach, nothing to worry about. And just full-fledged looking forward, not even thinking about looking once back, I mean, or how I came in this situation, you know.
That was At Me producer Rowan Pickard talking to a client of Beans Cafe. You're listening to In Other News on KNBA 90.3 FM.
Every day I grow slowly more and more worried about the fact that there's more animals than humans and that one day they will unite and kill us all.
I mean, that is kind of debatable depending on how you look at it. I mean, I think a very popular movie that debates the existence of dogs in an anthropomorphic position is the famous Alpha and Omega by, I think it was Lionsgate Pictures.
I've seen Alpha and Omega. It's pretty spicy. I like it.
But one thing I think I find very disturbing is not just the obviously, painfully obviously, auto-tuned howls in that one part of the movie. I also want to point out that frequently you see the wolves switching between feral and anthropomorphic position.
Yeah.
Particularly what interests me, and not in a good way, is the poster of the original movie where you can kind of see them on this little ride that kind of resembles a miniature Splash Mountain, and that's not good either. But what I also want to point out is that I'm pretty sure dogs' backs, they're kind of curved in that one specific motion, and there is no real way for them to just show it back like that, like they do in the poster.
I'm just worried about the fact that, like, if dogs eventually become on the anatomy of humans, that's going to be really weird, because they're going to have, like, kangaroo legs. You know what? Actually, I'd like to say kangaroo wolf. Kangaroo wolf haunts my dreams now.
Look, I hate to say this, but we already have an over-energetic cross between humans and dogs. Would you like to know what it is?
Huh.
It's... no, hold on. It's a secret. It's a secret we must never know. It's a secret to everyone. But you're worried about the dog uprising. I personally, and I'm not joking, I'm not recording just to make filler anymore. This is my actual insane monologue. I am worried about the inevitable Fraggle uprising.
I'm sorry, Fraggle? Fraggle Rock?
Yes, you heard me.
You caught me amiss here. I need you to fill me in. This is a rational fear segment.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm not going to do backstory. I'm just going to explain what I think. This whole fear started with me asking a question. What if Muppets don't sing because they want to, and they do it because they have to? It's their life energy. So, since there are more and more people joining the show every single day, let alone year, they essentially are welcomed in. They are initiated. And I don't say that like it's a cult.
Elm Street.
I say it like it's a genuine virus. As when they are initiated, they instantly have to sing and get others to sing just to stay alive, or they rot.
Elm Street is a pocket dimension prison, just like the Phantom Zone in Superman, where you go to be cursed forever.
Hello again, listeners. I'm naming this block Bops, because all these songs are funky, upbeat, and fun to listen to. We're starting this block with Love Me Again by John Newman. Enjoy.
No, I turned wrong. Left your heart torn. Is that what devils do? Took you so long. Where only fools go. I shook the angel and you. Now
time rising from the crowd, rising up to you. Filled with all the strength I find, there's nothing I can't do.
Confidence and ignorance approve me. Define my day today. I've tried so hard to shut it down, lock it up, gently walk away. Appetites and impulses confuse me. Decide my day today. Now my body says it's over. Shaking hands move to tear my face away. And when the night comes, I'm fiending like a pyro. And I know the stable's my survival. When there's music all around me, and I haven't got a single word to say. And then the light shines, gleaming like a bottle, and love knows I tackle it full throttle. May I illuminate the nameless, faceless saints of these odd and open graves. Thank you. do you one better? While you define your heartless time, I'll defend my love for.
That was Second Song from TV on the Radio. We started this block with Love Me Again by John Newman. Enjoy the next segment.
Coming up next, we have a segment from first-time At Me producer Connor Sobery. Connor is a member of the Robert Arms Jazz Institute and interviewed his instructor, Robert Arms. He produced the following profile. Enjoy.
This is the Robert Arms Jazz Institute performing Funky Cha-Cha at the Last Frontier Bar. Robert Arms, the director of the Institute, started playing drums at the age of 4, but he really got into jazz when he was in college jamming with friends. Later on, he learned to play the trumpet, saxophone, guitar, piano, and other instruments by becoming a band director. However, his main instrument is percussion.
It's something I've always loved to do since I was born. Whether or not it's a profession or not, is I guess, the blessing. I know a lot of people that can't make it a profession.
Arms was the principal percussionist for the Anchorage Symphony for 30 years. He founded the Robert Arms Jazz Institute 4 years ago after he retired as a band director at Romig Middle School. Now, every Tuesday, he helps students hone their craft by concentrating on areas they're uncomfortable with, as well as preparing them for performances at local bars and restaurants.
When I retired 4 years ago, I was looking at a lot of my students not having a good venue in order to continue playing jazz. And so I figured I could do that one night a week and keep them playing their horns and going on to be prepared for college properly. Where if they didn't have a good jazz venue, a lot of them would quit, and definitely if they continued with some of the programs that were available to them, they may not be able to get to college. They wouldn't have the skills to get up to that level.
The Jazz Institute is a mixture of students from all across Anchorage. They come together and learn how to play in a jazz band setting. Right now, there are 2 jazz bands at the Institute, a jazz combo with about 7 people and a full jazz band which has about 20 people. A jazz combo is usually 4 horn players plus a standard rhythm section, while a standard big band has a rhythm section plus full sections of saxophones, trumpets, and trombones.
We kind of take the best players from all the schools and put them into one band. It's kind of an honor band. Some of the best players in town at the high school and down level come together on Tuesday nights, and we work out at the Music Man. So it's actually very fun, very fun.
Arms has former students all around the world who now play professionally, teach, and record. Recently, a student named Paul Boutte got the opportunity to attend the Eastman School of Music in New York. Arms taught Boutte for 2 years in middle school. Boutte then went to Interlochen Center for the Arts in Michigan for 4 years and is now going to be playing with some of the best musicians in the world while attending Eastman.
That's just one example. There are many of them all around the world, basically, from Norway to New York to LA, that are out there kicking it and having fun doing music. I know a lot of people that can't make it a profession, and I've got the ability to where I can pull all the resources together and basically give them concerts in a concert hall setting at a really reasonable price so they can watch their children perform and grow.
For Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Connor Sobere.
You like jazz?
No, you gotta save it.
That was First Time At Me producer Connor Sobery's profile on Robert Arms, founder of the Robert Arms Jazz Institute.
And now back to Devin with the hopefully weather, but whether or not he'll be staying, we definitely have music. Right?
I suppose.
Yeah, let's get to Devin.
The hosts are offline. You know what that means. More music. I'm calling this block Feel Goods, and just like the name suggests, these are feel-good songs that should cheer up your day. Let's start with Kindness Be Conceived by Tao and the Get Down Stay Down. Have fun with these.
You and I
That was Success by Iggy Pop, and we started this block with Kindness Be Conceived by Tao and the Get Down Stay Down. That's all the music I have for you today. Here's the rest of another news. Catch you later.
Thanks for the tunes, Devin. I haven't heard music like that since, well, since I last heard music.
Since 15 years ago, and all summer we have been celebrating 15 years on the radio by airing segments and interviews to look back on in other news over the years. For this show, we have an interview with one of ATME's original youth producers, Helen Fleming. She recently sat down to chat with Daniel Duclos about the early days of In Other News. Roll the tape.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about what ATME was like when you were here when it was first starting out?
I want to say, so it was, before it was ATME, it was the Alaska Music Radio Project or something like that. So it wasn't ATME until about a few months in. And so myself and this woman named Shanna Sheehy, we kind of met through the Spirit of Youth. I was very active in the Spirit of Youth since like eighth grade. And I loved cutting their radio commercials because they still were doing stories about youth at that time, even before ATME. So I liked doing the little radio taglines and whatnot for the ads or the lead-ins. They said, well, you know, if you like radio so much, why don't you kind of intern with Shanna? And I was like, okay, that sounds awesome. So with Shanna, we would go out of the APRN studios, might have been the 90.3 studios back in their old building. And we used their studio to cut some of the very, very early stories. Then we got kind of more established and Shanna was able to get a lot of grants. And then we moved into the downtown location around 6th and H. So in there, we put up all the foam boards. We painted it. I remember making it our own space. We had like crazy green paint. I want to say it was on sale. That's why we had it. But we had the craziest like bright green paint and we had all these like brand new IMAX. And I thought it was the coolest thing. That led to about, I believe in the beginning class of, there was about 8 to 10 students, but probably around the 8 mark. And we came up with the title In Other News. And yeah, we just went to town as far as like brainstorming what we were going to report about. And it just kind of grew from there, because if you think about it, the voice of the youth, especially up here and traveling around the state, it's so critical, because even at that time, what was really interesting was this was the kind of the start of social media. So there weren't as many ways to get the message out. I remember traveling to St. Paul Island with ATME, and these teenagers were trying to get out their message about clubbing fur seals and protection of fur seals. And I thought that was so crazy because, you know, they didn't have MySpace, Facebook, all of that. So it was used through radio and media, and we were almost teaching them the skills of how to put these stories together and how to get their word out. It's really interesting how it's grown, and it's awesome to watch it grow. I always check in and kind of listen sometimes to the broadcast, just because to see what everybody's reporting about. Journalism is so important right now, just with, you know, capturing it, especially from a youth perspective. There are a lot of serious things going on, climate change and whatnot. And who better to speak on that than the people that are inheriting these issues? So it couldn't be more important to keep going. And I hope I'm around for the 30th anniversary and the 25th and whatnot, because it's just such an important program to Alaska.
What was one of your favorite projects that you worked on?
The teen marriage one was really interesting because it involved a lot of classmates and it got a lot of national attention that I never thought it would get when I put it out. It was just a very organic thought, being in my classroom and being at prom and watching people get proposed to, and it being so foreign to me, you know, as a 16-year-old to have a commitment like that. And now living my life and being married, I can honestly say that, you know, it's different path for everyone. I actually, you know, have known folks that have gotten married that young and still are together. And I definitely, you know, I think back to some of the folks that were in that story, and you know, it breaks my heart, because some of them have even, I think there was a woman in that story that's since passed away. And it's crazy. And it's, as much as it's heartbreaking, it was nice to go back and to hear her voice in that story and just kind of capture those moments. I even shared it with her mother and was like, you know, I did this story when we were in high school, but, you know, it'd be really good to hear her voice again. And she was, it was great in that story. She's talking about love and how important love is and all this stuff. And it was so positive. It was so great. It was nice that I had that. And I wouldn't have had that had I not done that story or had that opportunity. But thinking back too on the relationship side, you know, it's interesting to watch how some of those folks have become divorced that, you know, got married at 16. And I'm not saying it's good or bad, but, you know, it's a lot of work to have a healthy marriage. So it was just interesting to watch people try to do that at 17.
Yeah, and that just showed, that's a perfect example of how important and powerful our stories are that we do at ATME and those things that you report on. So do you have a favorite memory from working on the In Other News team or from getting it started and on its feet?
Creating the jingle was really fun, the first jingle, writing it. We had a local band named Jeb do it, and it was hilarious to kind of go in and discuss the direction. And I remember I just treated it so important. I was like, everything has to be perfect, and this is just so important to me that everything has to run the exact way. It's crazy that memory sticks out, but I think that was when it became real, and I was like, wow, we're really doing this. I think too, you know, our first hearing it on the radio, because I think it's so great. You guys still do it live?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, awesome. Do. We didn't do it live when we first started. We put it all together and packaged it and edited it and then would turn it in. And I think hearing it on the radio was also something really great and always remember. And hearing some of the stories that went on to like AK on APRN and whatnot, that was really cool. Hearing my voice and hearing my stories put up against adult journalists twice my age and kind of getting the attention and getting such positivity. Also winning like press club awards for, you know, stories and whatnot. That was really empowering when I was a high schooler because, you know, just being a high schooler and especially a high school girl, to be able to kind of go in there and be put up against some of these seasoned journalists and win, that was such a good feeling. And I would have never had that, you know, if ATME wouldn't have come together. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. So do you want to talk about a little bit how all of your experiences at ATME and within other news influenced your current career path and just kind of where you ended up?
Sure. Well, I've always kind of stuck around the media category, whether it's doing concerts and promoting on media, writing press releases, doing radio ads, that whatnot. You know, my love of local music, my love of bands and whatnot, obviously, is carried through to this day. I think my writing style really, people, you know, I think it developed so much during the years at ATME and all of the mentors that were there to kind of guide me. That has obviously aided me in like communications positions and whatnot. And being able to speak, you know, eloquently and well put together about points and views. And also it taught me to listen, because when you're out there and you, as a journalist, you try so hard to be unbiased, but it's hard sometimes. But once you interview some of these folks and you see where they're coming from or you see where they're what their environment is, it clicks and you're like, okay, I understand why you feel that way. And I can either empathize or I can just be in your shoes. That's super important. That's a really important skill. Active listening has aided me and probably gotten me to where I am, just being able to kind of learn from everyone around me, digest it, and then, you know, thrive on and make change, but also think about, you know, that person while I'm making the changes and whatnot.
Awesome. And do you have any advice for youth producers like me or other youth producers at me?
I would definitely say do not get influenced by the seasoned journalist. If you feel a certain way and you want to do it that way, do it. Because your viewpoint and your voice matters, and they might not understand it. Because I can say, as I've gotten older, sometimes different music or different viewpoints are kind of foreign to me, hearing youth, you know, bring up different issues. But I still am like, that's so important, and they should have a voice and they should speak. So definitely, when you're out there, don't feel discouraged. When you're at these conventions or doing stories on the street and you're having to fight with other journalists to get a voice in, just fight and get your voice heard, because you know, teens and youth are obviously who are inheriting the state and going to make it better, and your viewpoint matters.
Now, that was Danielle Duclos talking with former ATMI producer Helen Fleming. And that's going to do it for our show today. Thank you all for contributing producers, Rowan Pickard, Connor Sobre, Daniel Duclos, and Devin Trekengast.
Thanks again for listening to In Other News here on KNBA 90.3 FM. In Other News is a production of Alaska Teen Media Institute. If you'd like to learn more about what we do or listen to past episodes of our radio show, please visit our website at www.alaskateenmedia.org. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Armando Lois and
Cornelius Nelson.
Now we both say signing off.
Signing off.